Welcome to Sessions by Monster Chats. Sessions is a new kind of show for us where we ditch the script and instead dig into the real stories behind the people in our professional lives. How do we all come together in this world of entrepreneurship, sales, and unified communications? One session at a time. On today's episode, I'm going to be talking with Francis Perdue of Perdue Inc. Francis and I are going to be talking about publicity, individual branding, sponsorship, and coaching on overcoming obstacles and cultural diversity issues. I'm Colin Mitchell, the host of Monster Chats and founder of Monster VoIP. Francis is a publicist that's been in the game for over 10 years. Being a serial entrepreneur, she owns Perdue Inc., which houses a burger franchise, online beauty supply, inventions, and her books. Francis, welcome to Monster Chats. How are you?
I'm great. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's just jump right in and tell us a little bit about your story. Where did you grow up? What was it like as a kid? And how did you decide you wanted to be an entrepreneur?
Well, I'm a Navy brat, so I grew up in Los Angeles. Okay. And my parents were stationed at the Long Beach Naval Station. So my dad was actually stationed. My mom was a civilian, but she was a hustler. So she went from working at the, what they call the candy shop and the soda, like little area, whatever, to running the whole BXPX, which is the whole military mall. For those who don't know the BXPX, that's where you get your Xboxes for like $20. I'm just kidding. Great deals for military personnel. So, and then the commissary, if you know anything about that, that's where you get all, you get food.
For okay. Cheap.
So, I grew up in Compton, very much, I call it a mezcla, right? So I'm Black, but I grew up with Tongan, Samoan, Asians from everywhere across the world. And then I went from this beautiful neighborhood to actually doing, what my dad said, kind of gentrification, going to the Inland Empire, and it was so different. It wasn't as much diversity. And I think that that kind of got to me. And as I got older, I just saw myself always reaching out to help people. And that's how I kind of came to where I am now. I started off wanting to be a neurosurgeon and all this great jazz, got scholarships galore, and ended up being in radio in college, and it changed my whole life. And so being an on-air personality, I thought I was going into radio, but we went from analog to digital. And then from there, everybody lost it. And I'm only 37, but it was a big switch, right? So I said, I got to do something. So I started teaching. And then I was like, I'm not going to teach full-time unless I'm really there for the kids. And then that ended up being into full-time, and I love the kids. But then people kept saying, you're the hub. Like, I ask you for stuff. You know how to connect me to this person, blah, blah, blah. Manage me. And I was like, no, I need to make money. And they were like, okay, but manage me. And then I ended up going into talent management. And then publicity kind of just fell on my lap. I took, like, maybe one or two post-baccalaureate classes. I'm a UCR grad, UC Riverside. Woo-hoo. So basically, I ended up going down this path. And I didn't know that that's where I was going, but I knew at the heart of me that I loved helping people. I loved taking people's ideas and like turning it into a business, like really hype me. Like it's something that I love to do, showing somebody that their dreams can come true. So I've been in the business for about 12 years and started PS Media Talent, which was the name of my first corp, in 2011. I was still teaching actually to 2012. So I was burning the candle on both ends. I had a management, side for music, where I learned a lot more about the music industry and whatnot. Of course, coming from radio, I was always intrigued. And then I started my PR firm, and I've been able to honestly say I've worked for almost every type of industry almost. I worked for the United Nations through an NGO called Artivist, and I was able to executive produce that. I've worked with sports athletes in the cricket field, believe it or not, basketball, football. I put on events for pre-SC events for like gifting suites. I've had wonderful businesses. And as of late, the last 4 or 5 years, I've been an executive. I purchased a franchise called Burger M. And long and short, the owner said, because I was telling him things I needed for PR, because you know that's what I do. He said, we need you. And I was like, okay, yeah, you need me as a business owner. Everybody needs their franchisee owners. And he's like, no, we need you. The next week, he and the CEO asked me to come on board as director of public relations. And I've been having those type of instances with small startups, and it's been really dope because, you know, when you start off, it's kind of like when you're in the music industry, you're indie, right? And then you have the people who are like, oh, they're commercial. And so as a business owner and a publicist, I was more indie. I started my own stuff, my own corporation, never worked in a company per se, never had a formal education, and even though I got 3 degrees, but I digress. So I thought that it was different that in the last couple of years, people are recognizing my, you know, talent and asking me to be the director of their company, chief communications officer. And I'm like, wow. So one company gave me a shot as well, called My Beverages. It's a CBD water company and electrolyte company, and we're still like a family to this day. But long and short, they had me come on board, and I've been able to get their products in front of people like Kim Kardashian for Burger Room, for My Beverages. It was Damon Dash and all these different people, and they're like, wow, how are you doing this? And it's like, I just like connecting people. And they're like, wow, this is what you do. So I'm excited about where I'm at as an entrepreneur. I'm a serial entrepreneur. I created my own invention because as a girl and a girly girl, I love wearing heels. My mom, rest her soul, was a debutante. And when I tell you growing up, it was different. I had petticoats and slips and all kinds of stuff that people in California don't wear, right? I literally ended up creating an invention for heels because I'm sure I do. I'm 5'4", don't tell nobody. I'm just playing, I'm 5'3½". So
secret's safe with me.
Yeah, I'm very short and I have height envy. So I always wear these like 6-inch heels. I even fooled one basketball player. He's like 7 feet. He's like, oh yeah, you're 5'10". I was like, yeah, I'm 5'10". So long and short, the rubber little part on the heel for women, it wears down, right? You ever been to the club and you see women sparking, walking, like, you hear that little noise? It's because the stiletto has went down to the actual metal. And we don't want to cute heels, right? So I created an invention called Heel It, where you put it in, it's like a little cylinder, pop it in, and it pops out a new heel, and you can change the color, hint, 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 on the fashion tip. So I created that, and I'll be launching that soon. I've been getting the patent, so I've been in the process for 2 years, and so I'm in the patent stage for that. With COVID and everything going on, and I would say just the climate, everything's online. I created a beauty supply online because I figure women have to get their hair done and they need to do it at home if they're not going to beauty salon. So why not have the products come to your house? And so I joined a group called Stylist Solutions and was able to actually purchase my own little thing. So it's called Purdue Beauty Supply. And so I'm doing that. And unfortunately, I don't know if you saw, but Burger Rim has gone down. The CEO left town. Took all the money. And so they're not quite in chapter 11, but I was offered a fat burger. So I'll be turning all of my, you know, stuff that I put together for the liquor license and all that stuff into a fat burger. So life is exciting right now and I'm taking it day by day.
Yeah. Just one question. When do you sleep?
I don't. How are you doing? Okay. My cousin, she's been a really good support since my mom passed last year. She comes over with her two babies, and they make me run around and get out the house, and they're like, you know, you need to sleep. So they'll come over and force me to sleep. So I sleep. It's just that I think my mind goes so much. I don't sleep till maybe 2 a.m. Central Standard Time, and then I wake up at 10 like, yeah, let's go. So my sleep pattern is off, but I do get some sleep, Colin.
Yeah, no, I just really love your energy. And it sounds like you're doing a lot of things. I want to just go back for a second, right? So when you moved to a less diverse place to live, and you mentioned that was, you know, that was kind of hard for you. Can you tell me a little bit about that? What was that like?
It was different. So I grew up, like I said, as a military brat. So we were around different cultures every day. I would go on the base, you know, even in my elementary school in Compton, California, Longfellow Elementary, I was eating, like, you know, you have your cultural days. I was eating duck and all these different things and having all these great experiences, taking rabbits home, just crazy stuff. And then when I went to the Inland Empire, it was very much whitewashed. Like, they didn't have a whole lot of cultures. All I saw was black and white, and it kind of hurt me. And I was really young. I think I was like, I want to say 10. And I told my parents, let's go back. And they were like, what? I was like, they were like, we just bought this house. We built this house for you. And I'm like, I don't feel like I'm supported. And it came out in little ways, what we call overt or covert racism. It was more covert. Like I was skipped two grades before I left. So I went from second to fourth. When I got there, they said, no, you have to be in this grade. And they made me retest for everything. It was just always a struggle to go to what normalcy was for me. So the lack of diversity really affected how I felt. Not necessarily my grades and stuff, but just more so like I felt like I wasn't supported. Mm-hmm. And so I'm always fighting for diversity. I spoke at Lionsgate Film probably in 2018 through this company called Diverse Representations, which is ran by an awesome lawyer named by the name of Jaya Thomas. And she focuses on making sure that people know that there's diversity in, you know, every aspect of entertainment. And I think it's important that people see themselves represented, if that makes sense. And that experience showed me that I wasn't represented. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, no, thanks for sharing that. And so what have been some of your biggest challenges just overall as an entrepreneur?
Startup money. And also, you know, there's a fine line between what you consider successful and failing. And I'll say the hardest part is realizing as an entrepreneur that you're failing forward. Mm-hmm. I think that's the biggest challenge for me when it seems like, you know, things are grim. You always get that next client. And when you work for someone, it's not the same. You're working for someone, you're in that mode, you do your job, you get paid, you go home. But as an entrepreneur, the hardest thing is understanding that it does not work that way. And it's really that cliche, if you don't quit, you will win. And you have to keep going. It's a numbers game. And once I kind of figured that out, it got a little easier for me. And then not being afraid of rejection. Mm-hmm. And so my mom and another godfather of mine had this quote. It says, man's rejection is God's protection. Mm-hmm. And so even though that deal didn't work out, maybe it didn't work out for a reason. And maybe that person wasn't a great fit for your company. Or maybe they weren't going to pay what you thought they were going to pay. And doors are open for you to get something better. So I think that fear of rejection, thinking that you're failing, but you're failing forward. So it's just like that no means maybe later. It doesn't mean, you know, you're cut off or you're never going to have a client. I think that was the biggest challenges for me.
I really love that perspective, failing forward. Mm-hmm. I understand that concept, but I don't think I've heard it used that way. But yeah, you know, failing or running into a wall or having a challenge or a door being closed means that another one's going to be open. Or what did you learn from that opportunity?
Exactly.
And I think the entrepreneurs that have that sort of positive mindset are the ones that do really well and are able to do many things and not just one.
Right.
And now I also want to go back because you mentioned you lost your mother recently. So really sorry to hear that. It sounds like you really, looked up to your mother a lot. You said, you know, early on is that she was, you know, a hustler, and that's where you got that grit and that hustle. So, I'm sure your mom was probably very proud of some of the things that you've done thus far.
Yeah, she's the one who represented, like my dad, he has a PhD in clinical psychology. So he was always like, go into the military, baby, get a degree, become an officer. And my mom was like, you do what you want to do. You know what I mean? So she was always that person like, you do what you want to do. You can do anything, baby. And they both told me I could do anything. But, you know, even like some of my friends are Asian and they're like, you know, our family friends is like the same as your dad. Like they're like, you're going to be a doctor. You're going to be a lawyer. You're going to be this and nothing else. And so I've had like a stethoscope since I was two. I was like, he always wanted me to be a doctor. But just the freedom my mother gave me was just awesome to just explore different things and do what I need to do. And just to tell you how much of a hustler she was, I didn't get into UC Riverside. I got into University of Alabama at Birmingham because both sides of our family from Birmingham, and I applied. And she went into the dean and said, why did my daughter not get in? And they said they didn't have a reason. So they gave me a provisional admit, and I had to get a B. I never get a B in my honors English class in order to get into UC Riverside. So she was that controlling. That other much of an ambitious person to go to the dean of a college and tell him, you gonna put my baby in this college. So I miss my mom, but she's instilled so many things in me that I can't be sad. I'm glad that she's no longer in pain. And so that keeps me going every day, that the things that she's instilled in me that I'm able to keep going. And she was very much proud of me. You can go to Facebook. She put comments on everything. Baby, your clothes look a little skimpy, but I love you. Happy, whatever. Or, you know, congratulations on this award. So she always supported me. So even though in her absence, I'm very sad I'm my only child. But I know that she instilled so much into me that I just can't stop, you know. I got to keep going and helping others.
So it sounds like your mom was your biggest fan. And she's your why that, that keeps you moving forward and failing forward, right?
Yeah, exactly. That's
incredible. We're just going to take a quick break to tell you a little bit about what we do here at Monster VoIP. We started Monster VoIP because, frankly, we were sick and tired of getting gouged on our business phone bill and getting dropped calls. So today we serve over 6,000 customers. We're passionate about saving businesses money and giving them the features that they need in a modern tech stack for today's companies. Text info to 424-378-6966 if you want to learn more. Francis, it's been really incredible learning your story so far, and I love learning about all the different things that you're doing. Tell me a little bit about your invention. Sounds like it's been a little bit of a long journey, right? So 2 years, but it sounds like something very interesting. When are you expecting to start, you know, selling that product?
Well, there's a process, right? So my whole thing, So the whole process is I'm finishing the patent first, and then probably on the estimates, probably about February 2021, I'll be able to get an actual prototype. Mm-hmm. Once I get the prototype, then I can do, well, this is how I'm doing it. So all of you entrepreneurs listening, I'm going to do either funder, or I'm going to do, I gotta think of the name of it. I'll send it to you. But long and the short, there's some crowdfunding for entrepreneurs who go into first round funding. So I would create the actual prototype, make sure I know where I can get it manufactured and that they're not gonna try to steal my idea, hint, 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 and then start getting the manufacturing and go straight to online sales. And then also I can go into funding for first round funding. So that's what my plan is. My plan is to create it and then sell it. So hopefully a larger company like a Reebok and Nike will say, wait a minute, let me go ahead and take this invention, and then I'm good with that, and I'm going to be a billionaire, right? So people like, I really want to do. I have other ideas that I want to do. Some people are like, this is my baby, and I'm going to stick with it, but I will try to get it into stores and things like that. But you, in order to get on like those Shark Tanks and stuff, you have to have at least about $200,000 to $300,000 worth of sales. And so in order to do that, I've thought about creating an MLM, believe it or not, a multi-level marketing company for women, where they would sell the invention to other women and then start it that way. Because I think it'll be a support system and it'll be, you know, a way for people to become entrepreneurs.
Interesting. Very interesting. All right. So before I let you go, please tell people where they can find you and connect with you online, or where they can find out more about some of the things that you're working on.
Perfect. So you can find us at PurdueInc.me. And we're on all social media, so you can reach us at Purdue Inc. on LinkedIn, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
Awesome. Anything else you want to let people know?
If you do not quit, you will make it. And with, without, because of this fight, anybody, you will make it. So keep going.
Oh, I love that. If you are listening to the podcast, please subscribe, share with your friends, and we're listening for your feedback. The show is all about you. Thank you for tuning in to another episode of Sessions by Monster Chats, presented to you by Monster VoIP. Monster VoIP started, frankly, because we were sick and tired of getting gouged on our business phone bill and getting dropped calls all of the time. Today, Monster VoIP serves over 6,000 customers and is passionate about saving businesses money and giving them the features that they need in a modern tech stack for today's companies. Text TRIAL to 424-378-6966 to get your free trial of Monster VoIP.